This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle, or a home invader looking for an open window, a jilted lover looking for revenge, or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
This is the Grinch here. Glenn thinks stuff is on the other side of Whoville, so he asked me to fill in. Merry Christmas, happy holidays from the Glenn thinks stuff podcast to our friends over at Our True Crime podcast.
That sounds more like Sean Connery. But happy holidays, Merry Christmas from the Glenn thinks stuff podcast and Sean Connery.
May your days be very white.
Okay, bye.
Jen from Our True Crime Podcast chooses October Pod for her spook show thrills.
I always stream October Pod. I find the story so very dark and chilling, and I love the found footage.
Like Jen, choose October Pod on YouTube. October Pod, retro horror for bold individualists.
Camille, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. We're on our fourth Nightmare Before Christmas.
Four. Oh, one, two.
I hope everybody's having fun.
Listening to death and mayhem and murder.
Right before Christmas?
Right before Christmas. Kind of puts everything
in perspective. No, I hope everybody's enjoying this, though. I mean, we thought it was going to be fun, so I hope you guys are enjoying it. And please give us feedback if you like it, or if you just want us to shut up, go away into oblivion.
No.
Never just be heard from again.
Then we'd get all mad and angry.
Exactly. We'd be sad.
We'd be sad.
Be very sad.
All right, so this is the fourth installment of our 12 Nightmares Before Christmas.
Yay!
Which means I have a case featuring four victims.
Four victims.
Yes.
All right, I'm ready. Suck it to me.
So on Saturday, March 9th, 1985, a couple named Edward Smith and Kimberly Levine wanted to get away for the weekend, right?
Makes sense.
Must be nice with no kids. See, that's what you can do. Their plan was to travel 3 hours away to Grant County, Washington. This is in the state of Washington, located off the I-90, and explore the surroundings. The state of Washington's beautiful. My sister
Nature.
Was there. Hi,
Vic. Hi, Vic. I'm your favorite. It sounds like a fun vacation. I like doing that.
Except.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun. There's always that except.
It's unknown what exactly transpired during this trip and the subsequent hours in the middle of the night, but on the following afternoon, the deceased body of Edward Smith was found in a gravel pit near the Wanapum Dam. Edward's wallet and any form of ID were gone. They weren't with his body. His hands had been bound behind his back, and he had been killed by having his throat slashed.
Oh.
Kimberly, however, was nowhere to be found.
Totally gone.
She was nowhere to be found. On Monday, March 11th, 1985, Edward and Kimberly's employers called the King County Sheriff's Department when they failed to arrive for work.
Wow.
A missing persons investigation was filed. It was 2 weeks later that an abandoned vehicle was found 10 miles away from where Edward's body was located. The car matched the description of the vehicle that they were looking for and was, in fact, Edward's. The authorities were on high alert, trying to figure out what was going on, especially to locate Kimberly.
Right. So she was still missing during this.
She was still missing. They did, however, manage to get and lift a single fingerprint off the vehicle that was neither Edward's or Kimberly's.
And not like the gas station attendant or anything like that.
5 months later, in August of 1985, Kimberly's skeletal remains were discovered 2 miles away from where Edward was found. 4 years later, in 1989, the single fingerprint found on Edward's car was matched with a truck driver named Billy Ray Ballard Jr.
That's a country western song right there.
Sure is. He had been serving time on a separate charge in Wyoming State Penitentiary. With the fingerprint belonging to him, he was extradited to Washington State and pled guilty to the murder of Edward Smith and Kimberly Levine.
Hmm.
But do you think the story ends there?
No, I don't think so, because we're on 4 days of Nightmare Before Christmas.
That is correct. Thank you. The month of August 1985 grew even more disturbing as time went on. 27-year-old Stephen Harkings and his 42-year-old girlfriend, you go Ruth Cooper, Ruth, they were living in Tacoma, Washington. The employees, they were both employees at a vocational school, decided to go to Tule Lake in Pierce County, Washington.
To where?
Tule.
Tule?
T-U-L-E.
Tule? Oh, Tule. Tule.
Tule Lake in Pierce County, Washington, with their dog.
Yay.
For a weekend camping trip.
Mm-hmm.
They told friends and family that they had planned to be home by Sunday night. But when they didn't show up for their job on Monday, employees and family members grew increasingly concerned.
So it's the employers that find out these people are missing.
When you live on your own, though, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
4 days later, on Wednesday, August 14th, 1985, hikers strolling through a forest in South Pierce County stumbled upon the body of Stephen Harking. He was found in a sleeping bag and murdered by a single gunshot wound to the head. His dog was discovered nearby, also shot.
Poor baby.
So with him being in a sleeping bag, it's pretty much guesstimated that he was shot when he was sleeping.
Right.
Never saw it coming, which I guess really is a blessing.
Yeah, I would think so.
But similar to Kimberly Levine, Ruth Cooper is nowhere to be found. Can't be located again. 2 months later, in October 1985, a purse, dismembered skull, and skeletal remains were found and were in fact Ruth's. The dental records proved it was in fact Ruth Cooper. There had been a tube sock wrapped around her neck indicating strangulation, but the cause of death was determined to be by a gunshot wound to her abdomen.
So they tried to strangle her, I guess, and then shot her? Strangulation's hard.
So these murders have since become known as the tube sock killings.
I didn't know that, and I said sock it to me at the very beginning. Oh my God, I'm psychic. Call 1-900. Talk to Jen. $3.99 a minute. First 5 minutes free.
Nearly 2 months later, on Thursday, December 12th, 1985, 36-year-old Mike Reamer, his 21-year-old girlfriend, Diana Robertson, and their 2-year-old daughter, Crystal Robertson, settled in their 1982 Plymouth pickup truck early one morning, left their house in Tacoma, Washington, to go an hour and a half away to find a Christmas tree for the holiday and check on some animal traps he had set up in the vicinity. Later that afternoon, 2-year-old Crystal Robertson was discovered aimlessly walking around
a Kmart baby
shopping center. Now, this was 30 minutes away in Spanaway, Washington.
30 minutes away?
She's two, so keep all this thinking here, obviously. Mm. And she's so little.
Of course, right? Yeah.
So the employees and customers just thought she was lost from, you know, the store, the area there. So they called the police, and the police came. And they searched the store, they searched the area, they talked to people. They couldn't find anyone.
And being two, she couldn't really speak very well or know her mom and dad's name or anything. Poor baby.
They didn't know what to do with her, so they put her in a temporary foster home, declared her missing, okay? Now, they started spreading her picture across newspapers and television stations all across Washington, and then it ventured out a little bit on the,
right,
you know, Oregon and things like that, too. Shortly after this, Crystal's grandmother recognized her granddaughter and acquired guardianship.
Thank goodness.
When she asked her where her parents were, the little baby girl could only proclaim, "Mommy is in the trees." I'm not sure if that means, like, maybe she, like, watched her walk into the woods, or, I don't know.
Mommy is in the trees?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mom hid for a little while? Ugh. That's creepy.
So the mysterious disappearance of Mike Reamer and Diana Robertson was starting to turn into a cold case, since there was no leads, except for the little baby girl. It wouldn't be until Tuesday, February 18th, 1986, when a motorist discovered a red 1982 Plymouth pickup truck and Diana's deceased body in a forested area on Washington State Route 7. Her cause of death was the result of 17 stab wounds and a tube sock tightly fastened around her neck. So the Lewis County Sheriff's Department arrived at the scene with bloodhounds, and they were looking for evidence, and Mike Reamer was missing. When they examined the truck, they found bloodstains all across the front seat and a handwritten note in a manila envelope saying, "I love you, Diana." Diana's mother believed the handwriting matched Mike's, but a conclusive answer couldn't be given on if it was or was not his handwriting. Due to these rather bizarre findings, the law enforcement started to speculate that maybe Mike was the prime suspect and maybe he was the perpetrator behind the other deaths of Stephen Harkins and Ruth Cooper's murder. And he killed his girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
So Mike Reamer became the prime suspect for decades. People are believing this.
Right.
He had a history of domestic abuse. Prior to Diana's murder, he had physically assaulted her several times, one of which resulted in his arrest on October 19th, 1985. However, he and Diana were working at it and getting back together. They were trying to make their relationship work. He worked as a roofer in Seattle, as well as an animal trapper. He was quite good at being outdoors and knowing how to survive.
Right.
Since his girlfriend was found with a tube sock around her neck, just as Ruth Cooper, and no sign of his skeletal remains, this only substantiated the law enforcement's theory that he was the perpetrator.
Right. But
in March of 2011, Mike was eliminated as a suspect when hikers uncovered a partial skull belonging to him a mile away from where Diana's body was found.
Wow.
Any theories? You thinking anything? You seeing a pattern here? How did the little girl get to the Kmart shopping?
I think it was the truck driver picked her up, didn't want to kill her.
And just dropped her off?
And dropped her off somewhere.
All right, so here's some thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So Billy Ray Ballard Jr. was convicted of abducting, torturing, and raping two women in Wyoming.
So he's a good guy.
He was the one that the fingerprint belonged to in the first couple. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's no evidence to suggest, though, he had any part in any of these other murders. And the MO was different.
Right.
When law enforcement were investigating the murder of Stephen Harkins and Ruth Cooper, they discovered an interesting but unidentified person of interest. According to friends of the couple, maybe this is just hearsay, a man showed up at a wedding reception looking for Stephen. He was very irate. When the friends of Stephen asked the individual about this, like, "What's your problem, dude?" he stated that there was a dispute between the two of them because Stephen had damaged his motorcycle. Did you kill somebody over a motorcycle?
No. No.
So then we have to take a look at Mike Reamer and see if he's guilty of killing his girlfriend.
Right.
And the other couples, because those two actually went together. An autopsy was performed on him, but it could not conclude how or when he passed away. There was no hole in his skull. So
right.
He wasn't shot in the head, or so they think. So it's possible he could have murdered Diana, then took the little girl to Kmart, dropped her off, which is weird, and then drove back to maybe bury her or be with her, and then killed himself, like a murder-suicide thing.
He could have hid the body in the tree, but it's pretty hard to lift a body by yourself, much less up over your head.
So let's take a gander at this Mike Reamer and see if he's guilty of killing not only his girlfriend, but the other couple, which I think is highly not likely.
You don't think it's likely?
No. An autopsy could not be performed on him, so they could not conclude how he died or when he died. They did rule out a gunshot wound to the head.
Now, why couldn't an autopsy be done?
It was just a skull.
Oh, yeah.
So he could have possibly killed his girlfriend, then taken their child to Kmart, drop her off, which I don't really find very feasible either, because that's your child, you know, and then go back and maybe bury her. But that's highly unlikely, I believe.
Right.
So another theory floating around out there is that this is an unidentified serial killer that killed these two couples.
Possibly.
The theory is because the murders were committed in such a short amount of time span and very close proximity to each other in similar fashion. The tube sock around the victims' necks and being separated from their male counterpart tends to lead more credence, I guess, to it. Despite all of this, there's been no solid leads. Hasn't been any information about it since 2011. No more murders. And that's it. The case has gone cold. Cold case.
Wow. Well, so it's obvious the one, Bobby, the country western song, it's obvious that he killed the first couple, and then there's somebody totally different with the second one. Don't you think?
Well, there's three couples.
Well, the first couple
were found to be him.
Were found, right. Mm-hmm.
And then there were two more couples.
The other two were...
The other two had the tube sock around the neck.
Wow.
So when I was researching this, and we'll talk about this for a second, I stumbled upon a Reddit. Gotta love me some Reddit.
I love Reddit.
And it started talking about couples and like the type of killer that would target a couple, because usually they don't.
Right.
Because of the man. And that, you know, the one was killed immediately when he was sleeping.
So, right.
And then took the girl.
Of course, you
somewhere.
Would take the biggest threat out first.
Right. But then it goes into like the state of what the killer was thinking. A power move, obviously, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to knock out the guy versus just targeting a female by herself,
right.
Which would be easier or less likely to have something go wrong, I guess.
Right.
So it just had me thinking, that's all.
Interesting.
About a killer. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of killer would purposely take out the male, target a couple, take out the male, then take the female away from the scene.
Right.
And like,
but the last two were together, right? There mm-hmm. were four couples. Oh, there. Okay.
There
I
were
got
six
confused.
People total, but right. four that are have not been solved.
Gotcha.
And both of them, the females were taken away from the male, where the male was found. And because of them not being located by each other and time passing, it's kind of hard to say what happened, where they were.
Right,
because
all just skeletal remains. You would think, though, if you knew somebody was, and this is just me using my common sense, but if a couple is missing and you find a body that's maybe 2 miles away mm-hmm. from the crime scene, mm-hmm. wouldn't you check a huge parameter around that crime scene to look for a body? So I wonder if the body was moved and then moved back.
Or taken. Maybe somebody lives there.
Close
maybe
to it.
Maybe they have a cabin up there. And they
could be.
So anyway, that's my case. Number
wow.
four, Jim.
Number four. Four Nightmares Before Christmas.
After these cases, I'm never going into the woods.
I'm never camping. Ever. I don't like it. And, you know, my youngest is dying to go camping. And I'm like, can't we just set up a tent in the backyard? It's close to the woods.
That's more dangerous than going out to the woods.
Is it?
I would think so.
In the backyard of a house?
Yes.
Why?
Neighbors. Because I don't trust people.
Well,
I'm a scaredy cat.
Well, I know you're a scaredy cat, but I would be more apt to trust my neighbors than just some random person at a campsite.
Jason, Camp Crystal Lake.
Camp Crystal Lake, but that was camp counselors. He just went after camp counselors. He didn't go. Only the camp counselors who were naughty and not and on Santa's bad list.
All right, Jen, that's it. We're done.
All right, well, that was an interesting case. I'd never heard of the Tube Sock Killer.
Wait till you hear the sixth night. I tell you what.
Oh, I've got my next one coming up.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, remember, right. Lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. Wanna what?
Wanna pom. Pom? Wanna pom.
Wanna pom. Okay.
It's Native American.
Really? Thought it was German.
Edward's wallet.
You love me.
The car matched descriptions given by the employers and family members to Edward. Wait, you know what I mean? Hold on. She had been crying. The employees
distress
and customers.
In distress. Say that again.
No, it's distraught. She was distraught.
Yeah, you said in distraught.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa. Oh, in total distraught is what I wrote. Sorry.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? I guess in 82 people wore tube socks a lot. Still.
Yeah, with the stripes, those athletic. They were your athletic socks.
Yes, athletic supporters.
Yeah.
The Lewis County Sheriff's.
And you have to remember that they didn't really wear tennis shoes a lot either. They wore those dress shoes. I remember my brother always had those Levi shoes with a thick black.
Terrible.
They were awful. And it wasn't like today we wear tennis shoes every day. We rarely, you know.
Yeah. So you have any thoughts on the ship?
No.
Really? Like, how did that little girl get 30 miles away?
I'm thinking it was a truck driver, right?
The killer?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then how did Mike, or...
I wasn't really listening because I was trying to shoot off an email to October Pod.
I know. I noticed. That's because I'm talking. You're not commenting.
Okay, you want to start over and I'll comment more?
No. You gotta knock it out. Knock these out. So.
I didn't trip that time.
I know. It was close. I was looking for you.
Stompy McStomperstins are upstairs.